I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Tiffany Turner. She is the author of the children's fantasy book, The Lost Secret of the Green Man, Book 2 of the Crystal Keeper Chronicles. As well, we have a really special guest today that's going to help interview Tiffany. He is an 8-year-old reviewer for Read Reviews Kids, and his name is Evan Weldon. Evan has been reviewing books for several years now, and he really, really takes his job seriously. I'm really honored to have him assist me. But first, a little bit about Tiffany Turner. She was born in California and grew up in the San Francisco South Bay area in the 1980s. She lived next to one of the many orchards that sprawl through what later became Silicon Valley. She had a fantastic fantasy world in which she imagined a crystal cave, below her house, and she drew cartoons of unicorns. She had trouble learning to read and write due to hearing problems and received extra help in school through speech. She overcame these obstacles to go to college and become an elementary school teacher. She has been teaching for 13 years and focuses on writing to bring creativity back into the classroom. Her series of books, called The Crystal Keeper Chronicles, deals with growing up issues that children face. For instance, bullying, making friends, and dealing with self-confidence. Tiffany actually creates a really safe world for children to escape so they can learn from books. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi.
Hi, Evan.
Hi.
I'm sure glad to be talking to you, Tiffany, and what's really exciting is to have Evan here, too. And first of all, before we start with Evan asking some important questions that he has in his mind, I'd like you to just do a brief outline of what your book is about.
Well, my second book, The Lost Secret of the Green Man, is the main character, Wanda, continuing with the story of being a crystal keeper. And it's pretty much the first day of school, and she's returning back to school, and all the problems that kind of go along with that. She's got new teacher, she's starting middle school, and luckily she actually meets a new person, and this is kind of a challenge for her since she's more of a loner in the first book. So pretty much as she's getting to know this new person, Adina, she kind of finds out a secret about her, but I don't want to give that away because that kind of leads into what happens in the rest of the book.
Yeah.
So she goes on to a new adventure and finds out a new problem that the fairies have for her,
uh-huh.
in which the bees are dying. And so then with this new friend, Adina, she actually starts to try to figure out this problem and ends up going on a new adventure that leads her to Ireland.
Wow. That's an exciting story, it sounds like. Evan, you have read the book, and I know that you have some questions for Tiffany, so go ahead, ask her that first question that you have.
My first question was, why did the Green Man and the Fairy Queen betray Wanda?
What sense do you mean betray her?
In the end, didn't the bad guy say that the Green Man and the Fairy Queen had betrayed Wanda by saying that she was coming?
I think it has to do with the background material that will come out in later books. The Green Man is based on a legend, and I'm kind of trying to connect the bad guy, Balthazar, to the sense that he knew the Green Man back in the past. So, and also the different fairy queens, there's a couple of them in the different realms. So I do want to bring out a little more later on in the different books about how there's been some conflicts, some wars in the past, how the fairy queens kind of, and, you know, kings in that sense, the Green Man's kind of like a fairy king, and how they battled and had to imprison him. So he's not quite happy about the fact what had happened in the past. So, you inferred that they were betrayed. So I'm. Could you add a little more to your question? Maybe clarify a little bit.
Well, why did the Green Man and the Fairy Queen tell Balthazar about Wanda coming to release?
Oh. I was kind of trying to. That Balthazar is kind of hidden within the fairy realm, so he's aware of things going on. So I don't think my intention was that they actually betrayed. So I guess maybe that was some of the clues might have gone missed that I had put in there.
Evan, do you have another question?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
How many books are you going to write in the series?
I have 4 in mind right now. I'm working on the 3rd one, which is The Lost Secret of Dragonfire. And then the next one I haven't got a title for yet, but I am intending maybe to have something to do with Egypt and ancient Egypt.
Cool.
So far, just 4.
I'm hearing this cool. I have a question for you, Evan. In the review, you said that this was an awesome book. And I want to know, and I'm sure that Tiffany wants to know, why you found it so awesome.
Well, that's kind of hard to explain,
yeah.
But I like the kind of adventure that it had and that kind of stuff.
Okay,
and
the adventure, go ahead.
And how it had that even amount of action.
Okay. I did try to put a lot of adventure and keep things going from one event to the next. I found that a lot of children's literature, you can't do a lot of telling or showing how things happen or description. You want to just get kids going in with the action and have the characters do things. You know, they can't just sit around and talk too much. They got to go out and do some stuff. So I'm glad to hear that you like the adventure, because I was really trying to get things going with the main character and get her out there and fighting the bad guys, I guess you could say.
Well, obviously you accomplished that, because Evan certainly found that, you know, the adventure was the exciting part and made the book awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
How did you get the idea for this book?
I think a lot of it came from when I was a kid, and I would daydream a lot, and I liked to, you know, kind of sit in my room, read a lot of books, do a lot of drawing with cartoons, and I would also daydream about a crystal cave below my room that would lead into the orchard behind my house. So when I was younger, I did live with an orchard behind my house and would, you know, hop the fence, go out there and go into the creek, and the other neighborhood kids would go out there and we'd go to catch tadpoles and things like that. So I took a lot of those memories and I remembered a lot of things I would do as a kid and try to connect that into the book.
Cool. Yeah, cool. That's right. So a lot of this, what I'm hearing, is to do with, like, fairies and elves and crystals and all that, and unicorns and, you know, all those kinds of things that are really a mystical part of the book. And so I'm wondering, and maybe either Evan or you, Tiffany, can answer this for me, what is the attraction with these kind of characters?
I'd be curious to see what Evan liked about it.
I liked the fact that it didn't have... I don't like 2 true books, but... Well, I like true books, but I also like that even amount of not-so-true books. So I liked this a whole lot because it connected between the true world and the mystical world.
Oh, I'm really glad to hear that, because I was really trying as an author to make a realistic world where you go back and forth from the fantasy into the real world. As a kid, I loved The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where they go through a wardrobe into the fantasy world, and then they would return to the real world.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I like that balance, too, between going into the real world and the back into the fantasy world.
You were going to say something, Evan. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I love that series, too.
Do you?
Yeah. Do you read a lot of fantasy, Evan?
A lot of what?
Fantasy stories?
Kind of an even balance between fantasy and not fantasy.
Okay.
But Evan is definitely a prolific reader. He does a lot of reviews for us and seems to enjoy it too. So,
and we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We're speaking today with Tiffany Turner, and I'm assistant, but 8-year-old Evan Weldon. As you have heard so far, Evan has some interesting questions. It's always a great pleasure for me to have the young reviewers involved so we can really, really see their perspective. And so it's also these books then have a lot to do with the environment, and somehow the fairies and nature seem to go hand in hand. And could you just explain that, Tiffany, as to the purpose of that and, you know, what makes it that way?
Well, I found a lot in my research that fairies tend to be really connected to nature a lot. They tend to be the guardians of nature. And through a lot of different legends, they're connected to waterways, rivers, woods, creeks, the mountains, and mostly the land. So I found it was a natural kind of thing to kind of bridge between caring for the environment and writing about fairies. So I always wanted to include some kind of environmental issue going on. So then I try to look in the media for news, real stories going on. So in the second book, I found that honeybees were dying. And, of course, it's not really known exactly how they're dying. There's different theories. But I wanted to kind of take that and kind of give a magical twist on why that's happening in the fairy world.
Well, I'm sure obviously you did a good job of putting it together, because if we can go by what Evan says, it's, you know, it's an awesome book. And Evan, do you have any other questions for Tiffany?
No.
Mm-hmm. Tiffany, is there anything that you would like to ask Evan, being, you know, as an avid reader as he is, and how much he enjoyed your book?
I really like hearing from my readers and what they think about it, because when I go into writing other books, then I like to incorporate what they feel and think, and so then that way when they read the books that come after, they find something that they want interesting in the book. Would there be anything that you'd want to see in later books, Evan?
Well, that's the hard question. I don't really know. I really like this book, so I think I'd like just the same kind of a book.
Still fantasy and more fairies. And I've been, with the third book, I find that she's going to maybe run into some dwarves.
Mm.
And maybe a dragon or two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so it kind of molds around in my mind. So I do like to get feedback from the readers when I'm working on a first manuscript like this.
That sounds awesome.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Evan.
It always fantasizes me, the fantasy stories that, it, you know, the writer themselves must have such a vivid imagination to be able to write something like that and to be able to go into that fantasy world, to be able to have that, you know, all the words come out and it all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I do a lot of is thinking about when I was a kid and what I would want to see, like, there is a unicorn guide that appears in the second book, and I really want a unicorn to appear in my bedroom and take me on adventures. And I used to draw her quite a bit in some of the cartoons and have her, you know, go on different rainbows and go to different places. So I wanted to put that in the book and kind of give that fantasy escape to kids that you want that to happen, and it just doesn't happen in real life. And in books, it can happen.
Uh-huh. Children do like unicorns. There's just something, so I don't know what it is about them, but especially little girls like unicorns, but you know, I think boys do too. Do you like unicorns, Evan?
They add nice, fun twist to books.
Yeah, yeah. So, Evan, what is your favorite in a fantasy book? Is it fairies? You know, you said unicorn adds a nice twist. Elves, what is it that you really like to see in fantasy books?
Dragons.
dragons. Well, that's obviously coming up in the third book, Tiffany, is it? And I'm very curious, Evan, what is it that you like about dragons?
Well, I like how some of them are evil and some of them are actually kind of not so evil.
Uh-huh.
In some books, they're not evil. And I like how, and I like that a lot.
So, has it got something to do with being that dragons seem to be, because they're so huge and they're powerful?
I have found in different legends, depending culturally, dragons are sometimes viewed as evil, and sometimes they're viewed as good.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm doing my research, I'll try to get my ideas from myths and legends, and I found that depending on where you found the dragon legend, really depends on whether the dragon's evil or good. A lot of the Celtic and Western philosophies about dragons is that they're evil and they had to be fought. And then a lot of Asian and Eastern philosophy is that they're actually good and good luck creatures.
Yeah.
They help out quite a bit.
That's right. In fact, I do have a crystal dragon with gold on it that's my protector. and that's, of course, the, as you say, the Chinese. So it, or the Asian myth or legend or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, are they really myths? Are they really legends? Where do these come from? Do you know?
I found that some of the fairy legends, they talk about tools that were found, and it was believed that it was the tools of the fairies. But now they've found that it might be early man tools that were found. And even the dragons could have been from some of the dinosaur bones that might have been found 1,000 years ago. And, of course, people not knowing what they are or were, they made up stories about them. So if you look at, you know, the dinosaurs of what we have now, they do look a lot like dragons.
Well, of course, and that makes sense, but probably that's where it all started. And, of course, as we know, stories move from one person to the other. They're embellished. And, you know, they just, by the time they finish, you know, there's that game that I don't know is, we used to play as kids, and I think it was called The Secret or something, and one person starts off with telling one person something, and then it goes around, and by the time it gets to the last person, it's got nothing to do with what originally started.
Oh, your telephone, right.
Telephone, that's it.
That's the thing. People love to tell stories, and storytelling has been around for, you know, centuries, or for as long as people come together just to meet and tell stories, and you know, the earliest form of entertainment is to tell stories.
Exactly.
And you can find that a lot of the myths and legends were used in education to teach the younger generations, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, gosh, this has been a real pleasure talking to you, Tiffany, and I'm just really thrilled to have Evan with us this whole time. Evan, do you have anything else to ask Tiffany before we close this?
How did Bruford's teacher get the crystal ball?
I was thinking his background material, he's a master sorcerer. He's a cat sorcerer, and he's actually instructed Buford in getting the different kinds of knowledge that Buford has. So he might have acquired them in different places throughout the world. And in the third book, the dwarves are actually going to be revealed as the makers or miners of some of the crystals. So I would think that Caster Thomas got some of, who's the master cat saucer, got some of his crystals from the dwarves.
Okay.
And so I'm sure Evan is wondering, too, when is your next book coming out so he can continue this story?
Well, I'm still on the first manuscript, so it's going to take a little while to get through finishing that and then do revisions, but I'm looking to about 2012 since it's taking about 2 years per book to get it through the whole publishing process.
Good grief. Evan, can you wait that long?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. Well, maybe she'll give you a sneak peek of the manuscript or something, and you can get to review the manuscript ahead of time before it's actually published. That might be a thought.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Gosh, again, Tiffany, thank you so much for being on our program. Please give our listening audience your website address.
It's www.tiffmeister.net and then /writer.html.
Great. There you go, listening audience. And this is a great book. And as I say, Evan, our 8-year-old reviewer, said that this is an awesome book, and he even when he wrote the review, he put awesome in uppercase. So you know what that means. This, like, it's really, really awesome, and I'm sure that if he could find another word, or he would add to it, too. So thank you again, and thank you, Evan, for being on this interview. This has been a real pleasure to have you and finally hear your voice. Listeners, there you go, The Lost Secret of the Green Man, Book 2 in the Crystal Keeper Chronicles by Tiffany Turner. Check it out. I'm sure that any young reader, early reader, would just love to look at this book, read it, and go into the fantasy world with our author, Tiffany. I know that Evan sure did, and he just, as I say, he loved the book. So thanks for listening, and this is Irene with Inside Scoop Live. Bye for now.